sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast.
But we didn't come here to drink beer! We came here to win this ballgame!
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I said to the Uber boy, I said, take me out with the crowd!
What's going on, Cubs fans? You are listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I am Sean Sears, and today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On. Get yourself 20% off on your next order. That's BuiltBar.com using promo code Locked On. On today's episode, it's the MLB non-tender deadline, meaning teams have until 7 p.m. Central Time to tender contracts to their arbitration-eligible players. So we're going to go over some of the names that could be non-tendered later today by the Cubs. Guys, we expect them to maybe keep around for a moment, go through all that in the first segment. And then in the second segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Javier Baez. It was his 28th birthday yesterday. So I'm going to share my favorite Javier Baez moment, which actually happened at a game I was at during the NLDS 2016 series against the Giants. It's game one, the walk-off home run. We'll talk about that and more in the second segment of Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs on whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Spotify, Apple, Google. Make sure you subscribe, leave a five-star review. When you get into your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Cubs. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. So Cubs non-tender are candidates. So let's start with who is arbitration eligible, who is going to be tendered or should be tendered a contract and who won't be here today. So the Cubs currently have 12 players right now that are arbitration eligible. You've got Albert Almora, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Victor Caratini, Wilson Contreras, Ian Happ, both those guys on their first years are arbitration, Colin Ray, Kyle Ryan, Kyle Schwarber, Ryan Tapira, Dan Winkler, and then Jose Martinez. So those are the five players. Out of those guys, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hitters. And then leaving you with, obviously, four pitchers in Winkler, Ryan, Rhea, and Tapira. So those guys, let's start with the pitchers, because I think that's probably the most, maybe not interesting, but where you could probably have the most, I guess, leeway going back and forth. Like for me right away, I'm thinking a guy like Dan Winkler is probably a guy I don't want the Cubs to tender a contract. I think he's pretty much a clear non-tender candidate. But then I'm looking around here and I see Brian Smith's article from the from Bleacher Nation talking about how Dan Winkler was a guy the Cubs identified as a low release point type of player. They figured if they could get him at a higher release point, change his vertical approach angle, which is just essentially the way the ball comes towards that plate. It allowed him to get higher velocity, a higher release point. It doesn't make it easier for the baseball for players to see that hit or see that ball. It makes it a very steep and flat angle. So that makes it hard for you to identify what the pitch is, where the seams are coming from, the type of movement. It gives that hitter less time to identify what he's throwing. And for Winkler, for a guy who throws a lot of two seam and slider sinking options, balls that tail away, for a pitcher to have that slight advantage, especially when you've got pitches that move away or move in or have that late movement, is a huge advantage. So they identified Winkler as one of those guys and tried to work with him a little bit. And he's a guy that found some success in the Cubs research development department with the things they worked with him using Ivy and things like that. So I read about that and I think, okay, well, it makes sense why the Cubs pushed this guy out so much. At the same time, too, I don't know, even if the Cubs think they've identified something special with Winkler, I don't really want them to sign Dan Winkler. But that being said, the other aspect to a lot of this is we are seeing a lot of players agree to a smaller deal. A lot of low salary guys who would be right on the border of being non-tendered, essentially accepting slightly less money to be able to avoid sitting probably until March through the arbitration process and possibly getting saddled with a minor league deal because of teams not having the funds. So they're settling for deals now, which probably means they're taking less money, less guaranteed, to get a guaranteed contract, to make sure they're getting a contract for this year. And that could be what we see with a lot of these players. I would expect a guy like Kyle Schwarber for that to make a lot of sense for him, maybe agree to a smaller deal now so the Cubs can then maybe trade him and work with him? And I'm sure there's been a lot of candid conversations that have happened with Cubs, the Cub front office and their players right now. But I could see something like that happening with Kyle Schwarber, maybe even Chris Bryant today. I would assume he's probably going to push to the arbitration if he can, because he wants, I mean, they're not going to offer Chris Bryant a minor league contract. And on top of that, he's been so, I guess, maybe not hellbent, but he's been so driven to continue pushing the scales for the arbitration payouts for guys like Cody Bellinger, who have come behind him and have immediately benefited from Chris Bryant pushing and creating each year another, you know, highest paid level of player at this point of arbitration. Chris Bryant's projected to get somewhere on $18.6 million according to SpotTrack. And then MLB Trade Rumors has him around 18.6 across the board. So we're talking about somewhere around $19 million probably for Chris Bryant in arbitration. We know it sounds like he's not going to be non-tendered. John Heyman has come out and already said that Chris Bryant is expected to be offered or tendered a contract. The two players he did mention, John Heyman that is, was Albert Almora and Kyle Schwarber, two guys that he thought could make sense as non-tender candidates. Looking at how much these guys are projected to make, Almora $1.5 million, so $1.575 million, and we've got Schwarber at about 7.9.3 and 7.9 at MLB Trade Rumors. For arbitration projections on SpotTrack, they've got Kyle Schwarber about $8 million, and that makes sense. So, I mean, you're talking anywhere between low 7 to high 9s or low 9s. Maybe 9.3 is what we've seen the highest for Schwarber. That's a lot of money. That could be maybe why the Cubs could consider non-tendering him. Almora is more so about you're going to probably pay Ian Happ somewhere, probably maybe another million more than Almora at 2.5 to somewhere maybe around 4 million. He's projected by MLB Trade Rumors to either get somewhere between 2.5 to 4.6 million in arbitration. It doesn't make sense to pay a guy like Ian Happ, who you want and expect to be the everyday starting center fielder, to pay Almora $5.5 million or $1.5 million to probably be a backup fourth outfielder that hasn't quite hit. You could probably find better options, and there's probably better ways to infuse more talent in the roster than plugging Almora there. You're not going to trade Albert Almora, so he seems like the clear-cut DFA candidate. I said it again, non-tender candidate for the Cubs. The other one that I've seen a lot of names or a lot of traction pop up in terms of arbitration or non-tender candidate would be Jose Martinez. I don't really get that. The Cubs traded for him, knowing that he had team control for another couple of years. Even though he didn't really hit for the Cubs, we're talking about, you know, 40-something plate appearances, even. They were, like, maybe a couple games. Like, this isn't a – we didn't get – it's hard to even say Jose Martinez gave a Cubs any – even a small sample size. Like, we didn't get to see him. He had a hit, I think. He went hitless in his first, like, 7 games. That was rough and obviously impacted him dramatically. The Cubs pulled him off the roster shortly after him not hitting. They brought him back later on. Didn't make a difference. But I don't think they – I would be surprised if they non-tender him. That being said, he is projected to make somewhere around $2.1 to $2.3 million in arbitration. He's a guy that could make sense as a guy that settles for a contract now with less money to guarantee a playing spot. But he also looks like a very clear guy that would could be possibly offered a minor league deal if he ever sit through the arbitration process. So there's a lot of weird intangibles into this, but in terms of the pitchers, you've got Colin Ray, Kyle Ryan, Ryan Dupuy, and Dan Winkler. I could see all four being non-tendered. I could see all four getting picked up because the Cubs need pitching. And they have worked with these guys enough and pushed them into their system and worked with the IV system, the scouting and player development departments, and have clearly picked these guys as people they thought could be successful last year. If I had to pick a guy that was definitely going to get non-tendered from that group of four pitchers, Ryan Tapira could make sense. I could also see possibly Kyle Ryan, but him being a lefty and being so good in 2019, I think the Cubs would at least want to see if they can get something out of Kyle Ryan after a so-so 60-game season. It'd be kind of silly to DFA him, especially when he was easily their best left-handed arm just a year ago. So if I had to pick two guys, it makes sense to me that Tapira and Winkler or could be those guys. Kyle Ryan, sort of, kind of, but not really. Colin Ray, I could see him agreeing to a minor league deal shortly after this, but he I don't think he's a guy that would necessarily get non-tendered. He is 30. He might be 31 now, so he is older, despite him being, you know, making his major league debut last year. But for the pitchers, it's going to be tough to figure out. In terms of hitters, I mean, I think it's safe to assume Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Victor Carantini, Wilson Contreras, Ian Happ, and probably Kyle Schwarber will get offered contracts or agree to some type of deal today. Almora and Martinez are the two guys in terms of hitters that could easily be DFA'd, and we could see Schwarber included that mix too if the Cubs are nervous about trying to complete a deal while also having to pay Schwarber somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 million plus for a team that's going to be trying to cut salary any way they can. That's just not something that's feasible for them right now. Hey guys, Sean Sears here from Locked On Cubs to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the best tasting protein bars I've ever had. I know I talk to you guys about this all the time, but Built Bar is not only one of the best tasting protein bars with flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake. It's a new one I've been trying. Those are all new flavors, but they've got their original flavors too, like peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie. I love mint brownie. That's been my breakfast of choice the last couple months now. But the bars are 100% covered in chocolate, super easy to chew, soft, but the best thing about them is they're healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy, losing weight, whether that's losing, maintaining weight. It's a nice treat to indulge yourself with. They're low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, high protein. It's great for the keto diet if you're trying to lose weight during quarantine here right now. But take, for instance, the cherry Baraka. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. That is incredibly healthy for you. Is good for you, obviously, but also tastes really good. It's a nice snack to have throughout the day. It's better than me chewing on, like, I don't know, a donut. I'm a big fan of Goldfish and chips and crackers. It's nice to be able to just eat one of these protein bars. I'm relatively full. I don't snack throughout the day, and I'm ready to eat dinner later on in the day. It's nice. I don't spoil my meal, and my girlfriend doesn't get mad at me when I don't want to eat the dinner she just made. But Built Bar has the promo code Locked On to get yourself 20% off your next order. So you head to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You save yourself 20% off your next order of Built Bars. They're delicious. They're nutritious. They're easy to bring anywhere on the go. Great snack for work from home. Head to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code Lockdown. Save yourself 20% off and give these guys a shout out. They've been doing awesome work for the Lockdown Network and are making some of the best protein bars you'll ever have.
All right. So here in the second segment of Lockdown Cubs, which is brought to you by BuiltBar.com, use promo code Lockdown. Get yourself 20% off on your next order with Built Bar. We are talking about Javier Baez. He turned 28 yesterday. Happy belated birthday to Javier Abdo Baez, one of our favorites, and of course the great El Mago. It's interesting, Javi. It's so weird because I've been reading about Javi forever. It's crazy to think, though, he's same age as me. He's actually only like 16 days older than me, actually, or younger than me. It's just weird to think that a guy like Javier Baez, who has obviously accomplished way more, has his life far more put together than I do, is the same age as me. Weird, but I wanted to talk about Javier Baez because he's a guy that I think has more recently gotten a lot of love, stuff that he deserved much earlier than he was receiving initially. But, you know, obviously 2020 was a tough year for Javi, who just looked terrible. to put it mildly, you know, that's about as mildly as I could put it. He looked terrible, and it was worse than that. Just a weird season for him. But that being said, we still had a ton of awesome Javier Baez moments. Some great tags, a couple walk-off wins, the air high fives. Javi still brings that type of energy. And I thought it was really interesting to hear from some of the scouts I was talking to that teams weren't really asking about him. We've heard one team call about him. It's reportedly from a source here. The Athletics has called and had interest in Baez. But out of the 18 teams my friend was talking to, not a lot of interest in Javi. And I think a lot of that has to do with him in his 2020 season and just the personality that is perceived with Javier Baez sometimes. And I just think that's ridiculous. He's been an incredible player, a fun guy. And the more I've learned about him, the more I've realized how much of a stand-up person he is. The few times I've been in the clubhouse, Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras too have a tough time speaking in English just because it's not their native language. And they don't always feel super comfortable speaking in English to the reporters because they're worried they're going to say something wrong or be misconstrued, or, you know, all it takes is for them to say something silly that's just taken out of context, like Anthony Rizzo this year talking about shortly after the Black Lives Matter movement that had happened in the country around June, and everyone had – our players were sitting down. Jason Hayward sat. The Cubs didn't. Rizzo talked afterwards and was misquoted – not misquoted, but just quoted from like a section of like what was a paragraph of him – what he was saying to the media, and just completely got misconstrued from the entire tone and what he was saying in that conversation. –
guy like Javier Baez, that happens to him quite a bit. It's clearly happened to him before, so he's worried about talking. But when he does talk to the media, he makes sure he's giving you that time. He's giving you his full attention. He's giving details in the questions he's answering. He's trying and being genuine and truly is just a sweet, caring person. The stories you hear about his sister that passed away a few years ago, and just the impact Javi Baez had, the things he had to overcome to get to where he is now, to be just a happy, exciting, go lucky person. It's just awesome. And I think when I first think of Javier Baez, I think of game one of the NLDS against the Giants. For those who don't remember, the Cubs won this game 1-0. It was the start of the 2016 postseason run. We were coming off an incredible regular season. The Cubs had essentially had a 20-day break because they'd clinched, not necessarily clinched the division quite yet, but it was clear they were going to the playoffs. They were going to probably win this division. They were one of the best teams in baseball. So they were kind of cruising through this last portion of the season. We get to game one, and the Cubs are being absolutely shut up by Johnny Cueto, who was nails in this game. Absolutely nails. Luckily for the Cubs, they had John Lester going. But Johnny Cueto, in 8 innings, allowed just 3 hits, 1 earned run, had 10 strikeouts. Up until this home run, with 1 out in the bottom of the 8th, Johnny Cueto was annihilating the Cubs. There was just no other way to describe it. John Lester, on the other hand, looked great as well. 8 innings, 5 hits, no runs, 5 strikeouts. Was John Lester, 86 pitches, but Cueto, 118 pitches, was going the distance, absolutely tearing apart these Cubs, trying to get to their closer, Mark Melancon, at the time. And it was very nerve-wracking because this team had done nothing but smash teams all year. And now we're coming up against the Giants, who, it was an even year. Everyone, you know, was talking about how the Giants always win in even years, even year magic, all the shenanigans. Javier Baez steps up to the plate, works a 3-2 count, has a couple pitches that he just couldn't quite connect on. Was worried this guy was going to strike out. I'm not going to lie, but I'm sitting in the stands here at this point. I'm over on the left side foul line, way up in the 300 section. I am all the way up there. I'm one of the last rows in the back in the corner. I'm like probably near the foul pole, but definitely in the upper deck, maybe like 7 rows away from the foul pole, way high up. I have a video I'll post of this later on. Just so cool to be there. But that home run, I have never been around something as cool as that moment. But for those of you who don't know yet what happens, I kind of just ruined it for you here. But Javier Baez, in a 3-2 count, steps up and smashes a home run. Kind of. It looks like he annihilates this pitch. We all celebrate immediately. Everyone's like, yes, it's it. That's the run. It's going. And as the ball is traveling towards the wall, I'm like, oh no, Angel Pagan is lining up underneath this ball. Oh no. Oh no. Lands in the basket. Javi's pimping a wall scraper. The Cubs are up 1-0. I go delirious. I am losing it. I am on Facebook Live for whoever I was working for at the time, just losing my gosh darn mind. It was such a fun, exciting moment. And to see after, if I was jumping around or whatnot, I looked down the field and Javi Baez was just now rounding third. He had taken the longest taking the longest home run trot I think I had ever seen in person. He was reeling in that, or like just relishing that moment, taking it in, taking that slow trot across the around the bases and just living up that moment as every other Cub fan was in that moment too. But man, that was unequivocally the moment where I was like, okay, Javi's here. This guy's awesome. I was on the fence personally as a guy that I wasn't necessarily not sold on Javier Baez, but I just saw some of the things that were coming out from him, a guy that swings harder than anyone, got a Major League Baseball logo tattooed on the back of his neck at like 17. I was really nervous. He was giving off some major douche vibes, and I could not have been more wrong. Javi Baez, you are a fantastic person, an even better baseball player. Let me reverse that. You are a fantastic baseball player, an even better person. And I thought it was the other way around for a really long time, and I was wrong. You're fantastic on and off the field, and the Cubs were very lucky to have you. If this is goodbye at some point, if we don't extend you a contract, if you do get traded at some point, the Cubs fans are going to miss you dearly. But for a guy that I tagged as a guy that would be thrown in a trade at some point, or maybe wouldn't make sense in this system, especially with Addison Russell and Starlin Castro. In my head, I had Castro above Baez. It's crazy to go into a guy that consistently is in the top five of baseball jerseys. He's easily the most popular jersey I see around Wrigley Field now, which for to do that, to supplement a guy like Anthony Rizzo or Chris Bryant, or even Jake Arrieta for a time being too. There's been so many, obviously, incredible names that have played for the Cubs, but for Javi Baez, his name to constantly pop up and be everyone's favorite, be the Steph Curry of the Cubs, I guess you could point him out as, for a guy I thought that might get traded in a couple years after getting called up, man, we have been spoiled with just insane Javi highlights. To this day, I still watch some highlights, even from the World Baseball Classic, and I'm just like, Javi did that? He did that? So, if you guys have a moment, go ahead and look on the, if you haven't seen it yet, the Cubs YouTube and Twitter page shared the video of Javi asking if he thought he could tag himself. And it's a compilation of his crazy tags and then even more insane, you know, deeks at second or third to get around guys, the swim moves he pulls to be safe at home or safe on the play. Just a ton of great memories. And it was a good time to remember how awesome Javier Baez was as we say congrats and happy birthday to our favorite shortstop. But with that, that is today's show. We will be talking with Ryan Davis later today, actually. So that post will probably go up shortly after the non-tender deadline, but it'll be our Thursday episode. I'm doing air quotes right now. so that'll be up later today. Ryan and I will talk about the non-tender deadline, assuming there will probably be some decent Cubs news. We'll figure out who's staying, who's going. Some options that maybe have popped up for non-tender candidates for the Cubs to sign now in free agency and go from there. But today isn't necessarily, I think Brett Taylor put this perfectly. He said at the beginning of his arbitration article, today isn't a woohoo, today's the day kind of date. It's more of a so what's going to happen kind of date. And that's what we're going to try and do. We're going to recap what happened today, later today, and kind of give you hopefully a better idea of where this team will go once we know who is getting offered a contract, who is now available as a free agent, and what moves the Cubs would be interested in doing. But with that, that is today's show. If you make sure you subscribe on whatever podcast app you use. Make sure you are also leaving a 5-star review. Appreciate all of that. Want to go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. But thanks for tuning into your guys' Daily Cubs podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubbies.